on a very important subject in the church life, in our church life. And this subject is so big that it will take some 9 weeks. If we are doing 9 weeks, we won't exhaust it. So I'm supposed to talk to us for 25 minutes, but God has used the voice of Isabel to take some 15 minutes out of my time. So it is good because we will always be here. So I'm going to touch on very important aspect of this subject today, and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for what you're doing with us in our midst. Thank you for sending Isabel as a missionary to Ecuador and Colombia. Thank you for what you did through her that she's currently not even aware of. Thank you for being an extension, making her an extension of yourself in that group and in the lives of those children. There was said about the story of a group of people that went to a place and they told the people about Jesus. And the guy said, "We've seen Jesus before." And this guy was like, "No, you couldn't have met Jesus." And they said, we saw him, he came here. And it was a missionary that came and lived amidst them and that showed them who Jesus was. That all the description that they were given, they said, this man lived like that. In the hearts of those young children, the impression of who Jesus is, and how you can take somebody 11 hours away without an intention of gain or personal profit. Father, thank you. Lord, we ask today as we look into your word briefly that you bless every heart in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. So there was a boy, a 17-year-old boy, was going about his normal business. And I don't know whether in England, but where I came from, no 17-year-old boy is taught how to kill a bear. Or maybe a bear. Whether there's special skills, maybe James, you have such kind of special skills training, or maybe Josh and Daniel. This guy was going about his normal business, and a bear came and took one of the flock that he was keeping. And he went after it and killed the bear. And as if that was not enough, a lion showed up also one day and wanted to take one of the sheep in the flock. And this 17-year-old boy charged after it and took the animal from his mouth and killed the lion, whether big or small. I don't want to meet anyone, whether it's a big lion or a small one. I pray never to see anyone free range. He killed this boy. He killed this lion. Why? How? Some time earlier, the scripture said this boy had a visitation. A prophet came to the house and prayed for him, anointing him with oil. And the Spirit of God came on him. So when God's Spirit comes on us, it enables us to do beyond our natural abilities. That scripture that I've just said, read now, you will see that story I just said, you will see in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. Where he was anointed, and 1 Samuel chapter 17, from 1 Samuel 17, 34 to 36, you will see where he said it, where he reported it. The first one where he was anointed, the second one where he was reporting what happened to him. Because on this occasion, there was Goliath, there was another challenge. And he was citing the things he had done when nobody was seeing. I will say the reason why I'm making reference to all this. And he cited this as the basis for which he was going to engage this Goliath in the name of the Lord. So when God's Spirit comes on us, we are enabled to do beyond our natural abilities. We are enabled to do beyond what we can naturally do. We begin to live the supernatural life. I want you to turn to the next person next to you and say, we live the supernatural life. We live the supernatural life. The book of 1 Corinthians, the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12, from verse 1, says, I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Verse 4 started mentioning what those spiritual gifts are. But the scripture made it clear that these gifts, they are produced by the Holy Spirit. So I will read briefly today, briefly. I will read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 4 to 11. I will quickly, briefly read it. I believe God will give us time in the future to look at them more intently. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I'll wait there. This is a sensitive topic to talk about in the church. Some people feel the manifestation of the Holy Spirit are things that had happened in the past and it's gone with the disciples. That, can I still give a prophecy now? Can I still give a word of knowledge? Can I give the word of wisdom? Can I walk in the spirit of faith? If somebody decides to leave England in the comfort of her home and go to Ecuador and go to Colombia, if that is not the spirit of faith, you need to show me what is. Some, the spirit of faith, some interpretation of tongues, some speaking of tongues, I'm here to say to you today, the gifts of the Spirit are still with us. God is still working in our midst, and God is still working through us. That scripture says, it is the same Spirit that is distributing to us. And it is the same Spirit that works in us. But I want to say the first thing. He gives it to us not to make superstars. That verse that I read said, there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God. And this is given for the profit of all. It is not so that some people will be superstars. It is not so that some people will look special. That is the reason why the scripture says the Holy Spirit distributes to us. So it says to one, he gives the message in your New International Version, it calls it the message of knowledge. Another one, it calls it the message of wisdom to somebody else. But King James Version calls it the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Today, because of my limited time, I will talk about those two alone. Word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Because that scripture says, I will not have you ignorant. I'm choosing those two because the Holy Spirit is already expressing himself like that through you. And you may not know he is the one. So how does this operate? First, for the Holy Spirit to come and rest on you and live with you, you need to be born again. The Holy Spirit can use anybody, but the Holy Spirit to live with you, to live continuously with you, you need to have created that space for him, which majority of us here have done. If you have not done that, I encourage you to do that. But I'm saying, what is the word of knowledge? Have you found yourself in a situation in which you live in, you're doing your normal activities, and you know something without it being a product of thought? I'm not even talking about intuition. This is not intuition. You know, we're spiritual. Human beings, God make us spiritual. So even in our fallen state, there is still deposit of God with us. We still have our conscience. We still have that part of God in us. When we fail, even if somebody says there's no God, there is still the shape of God in him. He's already in the image of God. It's like you can't deny it. It's like somebody saying, I'm wood. If I'm wood, why am I talking? Like that. This is what human beings do. I cannot undo my being human. So there's that deposit of God in us. But have you seen that the reason why I'm going, tracing this down, the word of knowledge and word of wisdom, is that it does not express itself until it is engaged. There's a difference between wisdom and word of wisdom. Wisdom is also the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that a person can sit and divine ideas come to the person. But these gifts that I'm talking about becomes operational message when you speak, when you open your mouth. There's a difference between wisdom. You can be given, the scripture says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask, and God will give him. When you are sleeping, you can have wisdom. When you are walking, wisdom. But this walking of the Holy Spirit, somebody asks you a question and say, what do you think I should do in this situation? You have never been in that situation before. You are not a professional in that field. The only thing is that you have the Holy Spirit. And you said, actually, as you began to speak, you saw yourself saying things that is not as a result of thought, it's not as a result of learning, it's not as a result of previous knowledge. That is the Holy Spirit in you manifesting itself. You get to a situation, and they said, how shall we do this thing? You are not an expert in the field. You have not thought about it. You don't have a prior knowledge. As you open your mouth to speak, the idea started connecting together. It expresses in words. If you keep quiet, the tap closes. Once you start talking, it starts expressing itself. It is not your own knowledge. It is not knowledge is what has gone through your mind and processed. It is the working of the Holy Spirit. In the word of knowledge, somebody comes and just say, oh, how are you? And you're talking to a person and you are just giving an example. And the person says, how did you know that this and this and this and this and this that you have said is what happened in my house yesterday? And you say, I didn't know. Nobody told me. But the Spirit of God that is working in you is showing this. I wouldn't take so much of our time, but I made bold to say the Holy Spirit is still working amidst us. God is still distributing gifts to us. And I will show so that somebody will not say, you just gave an example of the Old Testament. I will show an example in the New Testament. If you go to the book of Acts chapter 5, the book of Acts chapter 5 from verse 1 to 10, Acts chapter 5 from verse 1 to 10 is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. The scripture says there was a couple. What was happening in the environment was that people were giving to the church. So they, a couple, husband and wife, they decided to sell their land and to come and give the money to the church. And like me, oh, thank you, brother. You're welcome. Thank you for giving to the church. But at the point of receiving that gift, Peter said, is this the amount you sold the land? The man said, yes. And he looked at him and said, why did you choose to lie to the Holy Spirit? There was no way Peter was going to know how much he sold the land. There was no way. It was not part of the transaction. It was not, but it was, the knowledge was given to him at that point of discussion. So these giftings are given to us in living a normal life. A Christian lives a supernatural life, such that even when things you are not planning to know, the Holy Spirit arranges knowledge for you to know them. So Peter said, the land was yours. Nobody asked you for it. So why are you lying about it? What happened next is not the object of my discussion today. The wife came in and Peter asked her, so how much did you sell the land? She said, we sold it for 10,000 pounds. When they sold it for 20,000 pounds, actually, the land, the money is yours. You could have said, we came to give half of the money of our property. You could say that. The land was yours. Nobody forced you to give it. At the point of giving it, but don't give half and make it look like the whole. It was the early days of the church. People actually come to church and tell lies in the name of God. But because it's not going to be consequences. There are consequences. But it's not an intention to scare anyone. But this is just to say, just as Peter knew, you too can know. In closing, I'm going to read the last verse of this chapter, verse 29 to 30. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all do miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. A part of the scripture says, covet spiritual gifts. You can desire it. It is not that God is the giver of the gift. He will give anybody he likes. No, I'm sure everything that has happened in your life, you didn't take it that way. When you were pregnant, you begged God, God, I want to have a safe delivery. When you were going for that interview, you said, God, I want to be selected. When you woke up in your house, when you were traveling, you said, God, I want to go get there safely. So our faith is not just, if God wants to do it, it will be done. If God doesn't want to do it, it will not be done. No, there's a participation. That scripture says, covet, desire the higher gifts. Covet spiritual gifts. You can covet because this is how we operate. This is how we operate. I'm coming to Katie to say, Katie, I have this idea about what we want to say, do in church. You say, can you? And she shows me a note. And what she has written down is what I'm coming to tell her about. What does that do? We are now not arguing. We are not arguing. So when we talk about reaching consensus in the body of Christ, that is why it is not like a democracy where there must be, this one must have that opinion. This one will have this opinion. That one has that opinion. This one has this opinion. We are now struggling to agree. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts differently. Not that somebody is trying to manipulate the others. It's not that somebody is trying to say, God told me, so everybody, you must follow what I say. No. God is working in his heart, in his room. The Holy Spirit is speaking to her, and God is talking to her and talking to him. And when all of us come together, there is no so much disagreement because the Holy Spirit is already working through us. So we use these gifts in discernment. There are ways in which somebody will be telling you a story. It makes sense. It is logical. But the Holy Spirit just makes you uncomfortable with the story. You can't fault it logically. You don't know what is wrong with it. But the Spirit of God in you says, no, this story is not adding up. God gave us such workings. We will get to it in some days to come. I wouldn't want to take so much of our time today. But where I'm putting this is to say there are spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives us these gifts. It is not because some people are special. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit comes on people and leaves because God wants them to do special assignments for him. But as believers, all of us have the Holy Spirit residing with us. To now mean, shall I shock you? The Holy Spirit can walk through her to give a word of prophecy. Another time, the Holy Spirit walks through her to speak in other tongues. At another time, the same Holy Spirit walks in her to do miracles, to lay hands on someone. I finished this morning with this story. There was a man of God. He was praying before going for a church meeting, and he saw a blind man's eyes open. While he was praying, he saw it. So when he got to the first place, in the meeting he had, he told them, is anybody here that is not seeing? Is there somebody? Do you come with anybody that is blind? Can you bring the person forward? There was nobody blind. There was nobody that wasn't seeing. He waited. He said, go and bring anybody that is blind. God wants to heal them. Nobody came. He moved to the second place that was to preach. He said the same thing. Is there someone here that is going to... When he got to the... So, you know, human effort, energy, like that. When he got to the third place, he was just saying, we're worshiping God today. He was just worshiping God, thanking God, and blessing God, and say, Father, we thank you, we give you praise, we worship like we do. Pa! Somebody's eyes that was blind got opened at the back. He didn't do anything. It was not because he was extremely anointed. It is God's work. The scripture says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God has ordained in eternity to do. God is the one doing the work. We are just, he's just involving us in what he's doing. It is not because of what we are doing. Obviously, sometimes we need to consecrate ourselves. We need to show that we are serious. If you want to be in the army, you will show that you're serious. If you are a nurse, you will prepare. In our place of work, there are preparation required. I don't just show up in class and say, everybody, there is something called calculus. They will say, where are your slides in class? Where are the examples? Where are the simulations? Those are my preparation. So equally, a man of God, one that is called, prepares. But it is not in those preparations. It is because God is working. So in closing today, I am saying that the Holy Spirit, the gift, is being given to us and has been given to us. And if you are today, you desire a spiritual gift, I'm here with you to pray and to say, let it come, O Lord. Let the showers of mercy, showers of blessing come. We are waiting. We are waiting. Oh, revive the hearts of all. Shall we pray? Do you want to talk to God? As a person, do you want to talk to God? Would you talk to God? Would you ask him if there has been the working of this spiritual gift in you? And you thought when somebody confirms this, you say, no. Oh, no, it's not me. You downplay it. I'm telling you now, if you recognize it, if you give, you can groom it. It can grow. You can become accurate in it. You, by discernment, you can give it room. You can allow it to blossom. Lord, everyone is asking you. Every heart is saying, what's my own? What is your own? What gifts have you been given? At another date in the future, we will look at all the other gifts and how they operate. The operations of those spiritual gifts. If the Holy Spirit speaks one word to you, if you know how to sustain that conversation, he can speak to you for 1 hour. If he tells you, don't go there, and you just say, okay. But if you engage him, if you say, thank you for telling me not to go there, but why do you say I shouldn't? He will continue that conversation just like you're conversing with a human being. You can grow your walk with the Holy Spirit. The giftings can grow. Father, in the name of Jesus, I stand with my brethren, all of us together, to say, Lord, we acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is working in our midst. We acknowledge that you have given us several spiritual gifts. We acknowledge that we can fan them into flame. We can grow them. We can profit therewith for the benefit of your church, not so that we will become superstars. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for a working of your Spirit in the name of Jesus, a free movement of your Spirit in this church in the name of Jesus. Father, we receive the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of working of miracles, the gift of interpretation of tongues, speaking with different tongues in the name of Jesus. We receive the different gifts that you have equipped the church with in the name of Jesus. Lord, we receive prophecies. Somebody came to my house and spoke to my parents and said, this your son is going to read a lot. I was a 10-year-old boy. He's going to do this a lot in his future. I didn't even know the difference between, I was struggling. I didn't like school like that. I didn't like to go to school. I just liked to play. But in my future is academics. And somebody told my parents so that they encouraged me. They put me in the situation, got lesson teachers, arranged things to help my journey. Lord, prophecy, we move freely in our midst. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Normally, not because it is special, normally. Lord, we thank you because you are the doer of these things. Lord, we thank you. The gift of healing. Lord, in the name of Jesus, because we speak of your gift this morning, and we have said you are the doer of these things. Is there anyone here today that is ill? Is there anyone that is a member of this church that is related to us that is sick? Lord, we pray from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. Lord, we command your healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, we command that your health, you said, is there no balm in Gilead? Why is the health of my people not restored? Lord, we ask that health and healing is our heritage in the name of Jesus. Everyone with a negative medical report, if while you are here, Jesus, those who were born without eyes, you made clay and you put in their eyes and it became new. To mean if it is not existing, if they told somebody your kidney is damaged, they told somebody your pancreas is not working, there could be a recreation. Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning we ask, let the doctors be confounded the next time we go to the hospital for check. Let them say we can't find it again. Let them say this tumor has disappeared. Let them say that this your condition has changed in the name of Jesus. To the glory of your name. Not to the honor of any man, to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.